I mean, I thought there was an aspect of the assessment for this module that is really good, in the sense that for the presentation, they have to present an argument. They have to look at a lot of statistical evidence about children's rights in different countries. And then they have to present a line of evidence. And I think it's really good, because they have to confront the fact that there isn't a right and a wrong, really. Mm. And they really have to confront that and realise that they're going to be assessed on the quality of their argument. And, you know, I made an analogy to them. Well, you know, imagine, you know, you're in court and you've got to defend something, or, you know, think of it like that. And I think that that's quite unlike, actually, the kind of experience they've had before. I mean, I might be wrong, you know, I don't know a hell of a lot about secondary education. But that, to me, I felt was a breakthrough for them.
Mm.
That it was about, you know, gaining evidence to support your argument. Mm. Now, obviously, your argument's informed by the evidence. But on the other hand, we were putting it to them very much in that way. I said to them, actually, I won't actually know if your statistics are correct, because I'm not going to go and check them all. Mm. Actually, I'm not that interested in statistics.
Yeah.
But, you know, use the statistics to get an argument. And then
it's what you said earlier on about knowledge not being absolute. It's about how we construct knowledge, what we do with it, how we shape it, and sort of what purposes we put it to. And it's about learning about how to sort of manage knowledge, in a sense, rather than just know it.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, that idea that knowledge isn't sort of absolute, but it's interpretations, and really the students are learning how to effectively interpret knowledge.
But it was really interesting with the presentations, the way the student actually did the best presentation I saw, because I saw all the full-time students, was the shortest presentation. Probably had, I don't know, possibly had the least number of statistics in it, but had a really strong argument that they backed up really well, very succinctly to the point, etc. and so forth, and came out with a definite kind of end point and conclusion.
Mm.
Whereas the weaker ones just got so bogged down in content and that, you know, they couldn't possibly manage the content in terms of then creating an argument from it in the time scale they had.
Mm.
And I think they kind of got, they realised that. They realised that in the end. And hopefully they learnt from that, even the ones that were sort of slightly weaker. And we were able, with the second group, to really reinforce to them that they mustn't fall down that, you know, that pit, as it were.
Mm.
And I think they gained, because, I mean, I didn't see them, but you said the presentations were very high quality, really.
They were.
For that group.
And I think this is all tied up with the idea of, you know, being able to sort of, you know, develop understandings, which are then part of our wider understandings about how we live our lives, what's important, what our values are, and using that sort of those wider concepts to sort of pursue our further learning. If you really, I mean, one of the things that would be interesting is to think about our own, you know, sort of learning trajectories, you know, from those very passive learning styles. I mean, I remember sitting in, you know, sort of lecture theatre with 200 people being talked at for 2 hours, you know, my usual response to that being a sort of little snooze. But, you know, and then moving into different sort of learning approaches, but also how that links with our, once again, going back to this concept of agency, becoming agentic, you know, becoming a person who actually understands that we have a role in change. And those, I think
we can't underestimate how much support and structure is needed for people to achieve that, though, young people in particular.
Yeah.
Because it, like we said before, I mean, it's the hardest option, I actually believe. It is the hardest option, and that's why I think, you know, you encounter resistance.
Yes.
And the amount of encouragement you have to give, and the clarity, really, you have to give about what your aim is. I think if you kind of deviate and sort of say, well, we want you to be active, but really we want you to think this, this and this, and then you're not going to get there at all, because I think you just need to be constantly giving them the reassurance to go forward and learn for themselves and be available for them.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of resistance to it, because
there is.
I think some of our students feel that they don't want learning to be that much big part of their lives. They want it to be something that they do and then go away and not think about afterwards.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the culture we live in, isn't it?
Do you think that's a good definition, what you've just come up with? Which is giving the confidence to actually go forward. And that's your active learning.
I suppose my personal thing about philosophy, if you like, of education has always been, you know, motivation is all, really, and that anybody can achieve anything with motivation. And confidence is part of motivation, really. And if we had to kind of characterise our learners, we would probably say that confidence is what's the main problem, the main weakness, if you like. Lack of confidence, that is. And really, we could spend the whole of the first year doing things to try and address that. And perhaps we spend the whole of the first year actually making that worse in some respects. You know, well, that's a bit dire, but, you know, that's...
But I think motivation isn't just about confidence. I think you're right that confidence is a big part of it. It's also about understanding what are the benefits of this. And I think for some of our students don't necessarily recognise that the active approach to learning, becoming in command of our own learning, is about when we really start to enjoy it rather than feel that it's something we need to do or ought to do. And I think that is a huge motivator, because when we do start to become in command of our own learning, we start to see it as an integral part of our own lives and part of everything that we do.
That's right.
Not a separate thing. But we also start to feel it's a powerful feeling. And I mean, I've spent a lot of my career teaching mature students, and when you see them hit that moment, it's a hugely powerful feeling that suddenly they're in command of this thing that they perhaps didn't even understand why they were doing it. I mean, if you interview mature students for courses, the usual thing they first say is, I'm not sure why I'm here, you know, but they're driven on by an urge to learn that is not defined at the time, but becomes defined and becomes very powerful, you know, that it's part of all of their life, not just and affects all of their life, not just separate. And I think that is a huge motivator, but not one that every learner gets to, and certainly not one that is necessarily easy to get to.
You don't sustain it either, do you?
No, it comes and goes in our lives.
Yeah.
Depending on what we call learning.
Yeah.